Take your Bibles while the choir is finding their seat and turn to 2 Timothy. We're going to be in chapter 3. Our focal passage is verses 14 and 15. And we're once again going to be at several different places today. But we're talking about learning for a lifetime. Learning for a lifetime. As we celebrate Graduate Sunday, our two graduates are here and they look so good. And hopefully, if Lord willing and the creek don't rise, Friday night will get here and they'll be able to walk and go across the platform, receive that diploma that they've worked so hard for. We're already proud of them. We're going to be even more proud when that happens. But today I want to bring a message. This is a message for you two that everybody else can benefit from as well. But I want to talk to you too, the two of you particularly, for a little bit anyway. This first part's not going to be applicable to them because they're a whole lot older than you. Well, most of them are a whole lot older than you, or some of them are barely older than you. But we want to read the passage, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 14 and 15. Before we do, let's pray. Lord God, be in this time now. I pray that your Holy Spirit, as the word goes forth, that you would ensure that it finds fertile soil in the hearts of the hearer, and Lord, that it would take root and grow and produce fruit. I pray, Father, that you would minister to our needs. Lord, that your Holy Spirit would encourage us and strengthen us and convict us and discipline us, whatever needs to be the case in each and every life. But Lord, help us all, every one of us, to focus on you and your word right now so that we will know your way. So lead us and guide us, touch us and move us, change us into what you want us to be, an image, a reflection of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. It's in his name we pray. Amen. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and firmly believed, knowing those from whom you learned, and that from childhood you have known the sacred scriptures, which are able to instruct you for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. I want you to take that very personally, you two graduates especially. But as for you, now he's writing to all of us. And so all of you, please listen and pay attention to what the word says today. But thinking about our kids, I did this about 7 years, exactly 7 years ago. I came up with these statistics. If you're graduating high school, which means that you have been in school for approximately 2,160 days. 2,160 days. You spent 12,960 hours in class, not counting the ones you cut. That translates into 777,600 minutes. So far, you've lived a little over 19 years. At 19 years, you've been around for 228 months. You've been breathing 988 weeks. You've been going through the motions of your life for 6,935 days at 19 years old. You've been here for 166,440 hours. You've been taking up space and breathing oxygen for 9,986,400 minutes. You've slept. Boy, this one is probably way off, because I know Christina don't get up until she absolutely has to. You've slept 52,500 hours. Christina, yours is probably about 62,000. You've watched TV 12,173 hours, if you're average. You've spent 7,488 hours eating. If you live the average lifespan, or the span promised to us, and many of us live past that, but the span promised to us and on average by the Bible, which says that we will have 70. You'll sleep 24 years. 24 years, round the clock. That's how much time in your life will be taken up sleeping. You'll work 14 years, play for 8 years, you'll eat for 6 years, you'll drive for 5 years, talk for 4 years, except Christina, that'll be 6 years. You'll go to school for 3 years, and that means solid, like I said, round the clock, every minute, every hour. You'll be sick for approximately 3 years. You'll study and read, hopefully, for 3 years. You were born in the mid-90s. You were wrinkled, bald, red, toothless, could hardly see, crying, complaining, had no clothes on. Not a whole lot has changed, has it? Well, you've come a long way. You've reached a milestone, but this is not the end. It's really just the beginning. You've come to the end of a big episode. I kind of liken it to an interesting series on TV. There aren't any anymore, but high school is the close of one episode, but the continuation. In fact, one writer put it this way. He says, just before the credits roll on screen, across the screen flashes the words, to be continued. John Adams said, there are two types of education. One should teach us how to make a living. The other should teach us how to live. Education prepares us to make a living. God prepares us to live a life. Education prepares us for that which will become our livelihood. Christ prepares us for that which will impact the lives of others. And there are four thoughts that I want to share with you this morning with regard to this passage. And there are a number of scriptures that go with this, and so we certainly aren't going to be able to go through them quick enough for everybody to write them. To just write down the reference if you want this. But four thoughts for life that have to do with this first verse that we looked at. Number one, education never ends. You need to become a member of the University of Lifelong Learning. Education never ends. Now, let's go back to our original passage in 2 Timothy 3, 14, 15. And it says, but as for you, what? What's that word? Continue. As for you, continue in what you have learned and firmly believed. Continue. How long? There's no end. As long as I'm alive, I'm learning. And when I stop learning, I stop growing. Now, we're looking at your high school graduation in the sense that it is a secular event. But the exact same premise is reflected in the church and your responsibility to the church. You see, both of you, I've had the privilege of seeing you come to know Christ and go through the baptismal waters. Both of you profess that Jesus is Lord of your life. Both of you have made that decision to, and maybe I should have said it this way, both of you have made the decision to receive Christ as Savior, but you will have the rest of your life to profess Him as Lord, to show the world that He's Lord. And when they look at you, and they look in your eyes, and they look at your face, and they look at your reflection, when you're going through trials, when things aren't going your way, when you're experiencing difficulties, the world's going to be able to look into your face and they're going to see who you belong to. They're going to see who you're studying, who you are continuing in. Whether you're continuing in Christ or you're continuing in self. Things don't go my way. I think I'll get mad. And I think I'll just forget it all. I'll go home and I'll just sit there and I'll be mad. Well, that's not going to help anyone, including you. God says, continue in what you have learned. Paul was writing this to Timothy, a young pastor, just starting out. Much like you, which is why I really like this passage, because it's not to a senior statesman. It's not to an elder believer. It's to a young guy just starting out. And he says, wherever you are, continue. Whatever you've been doing, continue. And we're talking about education. We're talking about preparation. We're talking about going through that process as believers of sanctification. And I'm going to say to you all, wherever you are in your life, it's your responsibility to continue Don't ever think that we've arrived. We haven't. When a person thinks that I'm okay where I am, I really don't need to know anything else. You see, stagnation comes in. Stagnation comes into play. And following stagnation comes rot. I want to say to you that as you continue, you must continue in Christ. The person who does not have the time for the Lord Jesus Christ, the person who does not have the time for the work of the church, which is the body of Christ, is the person who is becoming stagnant already. And the Bible says that we will all come before the Lord Jesus Christ in judgment. And our works will be judged. And there will be no excuse. Oh, but Lord, you know I had to work and provide for my family. No excuses. No excuses. Well, Lord, you know I had to work. No. What I know is that you were supposed to have priorities. What are the priorities? Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. Seek ye first what? The kingdom of God and His righteousness. And all these other things will be added to you. What is he talking about? Money, shelter, food, all those things. Seek first God's kingdom. Make it a priority as you continue. Education never ends in the physical. Education never ends in the spiritual. I want to bring up another. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. I want you to look at that. Sandy, bring that up next. There you go. I want to say something to you about this. Now, this is a Holman, as I usually do, but King James changes two words to one. Now, Holman says, be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who doesn't need to be ashamed, correctly teaching the word of truth. King James submits one little short word for those first two words, study. It means to be diligent, be committed to what you're looking at. Study. To show yourself approved unto God. Does it say work 80 hours a week to show yourself approved unto God? No. Does it say party 50 hours a week to show yourself approved unto God? No. But it does say study. I need to study. God will give me the ability to study the things I need to know to make a living. But God wants me in this book more than any other. And if you start with this one, you'll never end up wrong. But if you ignore this one, you'll lose the path altogether. Education never ends in the physical. It never ends in the spiritual. Number two. Education provides information. You are responsible for what you hold on to. Education provides information. You are responsible for what you hold on to. And I'm going to go right back. And Sandy, you don't need to do anything, but I'm going back to the first verse we looked at, or the verses, 2 Timothy 3:14, 15. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and firmly believed, knowing those from whom you learned, and that from childhood you have known the sacred scriptures. Education provides information. Continue in what you have learned and what you're holding to. It provides information, and you're responsible for what you hold on to. You know, there's a vast difference between hypothesis, I'll get it out in a minute, hypothesis, which is theory, and fact. The interesting thing is that we in the world have it absolutely backwards, do we not, as to what the real truth is. Because you see, they say that what they've come up with in their theories is actually fact. I remember watching a TV program where they were talking about Big Bang Theory, and one of the guys said, evolution is not a theory, it's a fact. And his mom looked at him and said, and that's your theory. That's your theory. We need to know the difference between what is theory and what is fact. And the truth of the matter is, everything that we learn in science, many of the things that they teach us in schools today are theory, but this is fact. This is fact. And not a little bit of it, I don't pick and choose. I don't do proof texting. In other words, I got to prove to Willie that he's wrong and I'm right. So I'm going to grab me a verse here and a verse there. I'm supposed to digest the whole thing. I'm supposed to digest all of it. Well, I can't possibly. How many of you have read, well, I'm scared to ask this. How many of you have read more than one book in your life? Come on, raise your hands. Don't be scared. I mean, some of you don't like to read. I hope that you get over that when you're reading God's Word. The rest of it, that's just up to you. You know, if you've never read a romance novel in your life, you haven't lost a thing. I love John Grisham. I haven't had a chance to read. I got two or three of his books that I still haven't even read yet that are on my shelf waiting. But you know what? If Jesus comes and I don't get to them, oh well. But if Jesus comes and I don't get to this, I'm in a mess. I'm in a mess. How am I supposed to know what God's holding me accountable for if I don't read it? And I am responsible. Education provides the information. A sermon provides information. The Holy Spirit applies the truth. But it's still up to you to hold on to it. You know, the truth is that every one of us can sit here and say, well, I'm here because I love to go to church and it's just fun. Or I'm here because mom and daddy made me. Or I'm here because it's just a habit. Or I'm here because of whatever. And you can say, yeah, preacher did a fairly decent job of explaining himself today. And before you walk out that door, you can dump every bit of it and go on your way and you haven't gained a thing. Nothing. Now there are many who will say, but when the Holy Spirit applies the teaching to our heart, you still have to accept it. You still have to absorb it. You still have to digest. The Holy Spirit applies the truth. But the Holy Spirit applies the truth to everyone. The Bible says no man can come to the Father except the Spirit draws him. So everyone who was ever saved has responded, has applied the truth that the Holy Spirit has presented to them. But do you think for one second that we who are saved are the only ones the Holy Spirit's ever applied that truth to? Many have said no. Or, the most dangerous, not now. Thinking that they've got a predetermined amount of time and that they're going to know when it's over. They're not. We need to hold on to the truth. And when we're in the Spirit, we look at 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. And it says, all Scripture is inspired by God and is profitable for what? Teaching, for rebuking, for correcting, and for training in righteousness. I want to say to you too, especially, you are in training for righteousness. But you know what? So is everyone in here. The moment we stop training is the moment we stop growing. And that's the very reason that Paul said at one particular point, he said, I should be feeding you meat. I should be feeding you meat, but you've refused to receive what God has planted in you, and I'm still stuck giving you milk. That's Paul's way of saying, grow up! Mature in Christ! And hold on to those things that you're responsible for, that God has revealed. Number three. First of all, education never ends. Number two, education provides information. Number three, not everyone is equally credentialed. Now, I want to explain that by saying this before we go back to the passage of Scripture. In order to learn, there needs to be a student and there needs to be a teacher. Now, a lot of people say, well, I can learn from a book. Well, you think that book wrote itself? Somebody wrote the book. So if you're going to learn from a book, you're still learning from a teacher. Not all teachers are created equally. Not all paths lead to the same destination. Not everyone is equally credentialed. Again, I'm going back and I want you to listen to this because you need to have this in your heart and in your mind. All of us do. Listen again to what Paul said. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and firmly believed. Listen, knowing those from whom you learned. Knowing those from whom you learned. One of the things, when I came here 12 years ago, I said very firmly, I felt this was where God wanted me and this was where I was going to stay. I don't believe, I'm not one of those that believes that preacher has to leave every and move around every 2 or 3 years or whatever. But I know this, that if this church or if a church were to lose confidence in the teaching of the pastor, he needs to go. Because you need to be able to have confidence in who does the teaching. If you don't have confidence in your Sunday school teacher, you need to say something to somebody, and we need to find out why. Because you need to be listening to that person, and you need to have confidence in the fact that they are teaching you what they need to teach you. We need to know those from whom we've learned. And that's why I believe very strongly that we need to be incredibly careful as to who we put in teaching positions. I have a friend, pastor friend. They went through their constitution in the church not too many years back. They said that anyone in the constitution, they said, in order to be a teacher, number one, you had to be a tither. And they did not just for teachers, but they did for deacons, teachers, anyone in senior levels of responsibility. Now, everybody ought to be. But in order for you to be a deacon, in order for you to be a teacher, in order for you to be a senior level, director of a committee or whatever, you need to be a tither. You need to be a regular attender. And you needed to be involved in the overall ministry of the church. Now, I don't know exactly how it was worded, but those are three things I remember him saying. He said, because there are a lot of times we'd have somebody that would teach Sunday school, come in here and teach Sunday school, and then leave, not stay for the worship service. What's wrong with that? A lot. We're not involved in the overall ministry of the church. Why would you come and teach and yet not care enough to be involved in the ministry of the worship of the church? Why would you care about teaching in Sunday school but not show up to be a part of discipleship training as we're teaching one another to be disciples? Why would you trust somebody in leadership as a deacon and yet they're not sold out enough to be committed to tithe to the ministry of the church? We need to know who it is that is providing the instruction, knowing those from whom you learn. And number four, you will always need something or someone upon whom to lean. As you go through your life, as you go through your ministry, you will need someone upon whom to lean, and you need to choose carefully. There are many who will lead you astray. If I were to open it up for testimonies as to who in this church has wasted a lot of time being led astray by people they shouldn't have listened to, people they shouldn't have hung out with, people they shouldn't have been as close to. Many, many of us, if not all of us, would say, yeah, I need to be careful. I should have been more careful about who I was leaning on. Because that's what we're doing. We establish friendships because we need someone upon whom to lean. And it may be just lean for encouragement, to lean for fellowship, to lean for times of tragedy, whatever they are, we need someone upon whom to lean. That's why I chose the song that the choir did. We need to lean upon the everlasting arms of Jesus. And one more time, going back to the top. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and firmly believed, knowing those from whom you learned, and that from childhood you have known the sacred scriptures, which are able to instruct you for what? For salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. I was going to pick on Hannah again today as I was trying to get ready and decide what to do with the children's sermon. And I was I was going to do that leaning. I was going to kind of lean on her. It wouldn't have helped a whole lot, would it? Not if I'd have put this big old tub leaning on poor little Hannah. We need to have somebody that we, when we know we need to lean, we know they can hold us up. His name is Jesus. You going out into a world. See, we can say, oh, it's incredible. You guys have gone 12 years and you've done it just wonderful. And you've graduated high school and you finished. You finished. But you really have just begun. And the scary part is that most of what you have to do now will be from your own motivation. I've said to so many people, you go to college, let's say you go to college, you take some college, they don't care whether you make it or not. They care that they remain teachers. They give the information out, it's up to you to get it. You have to be self-motivated. You move out of mom and daddy's house, nobody's there to take care of you anymore. That day's coming. You have to make your own way. All of a sudden, there's a checkbook, and it's not mama's or daddy's that the bills are written out of. And all of a sudden, you learn these things. The electric company actually requires money every month to keep the lights on so that the food will stay fresh in the refrigerator. And when that refrigerator wears out, there's nobody to buy a new one but you. When the car needs gas, it'll be you. When you go into work, you won't be able to say, Mama didn't tell me. Daddy didn't tell me. Auntie didn't do this. It'll be you. And as you go into that time, you need someone upon whom you can lean. And you need to take Him with you. And He is Jesus. Was Jesus going to pay my electric bill? Sure. He's going to give you enough intelligence and enough strength. And He's going to sustain you every day so that you can go out and you can make your way in the world and you can get yourself a job and you can be a productive citizen. And that's what He's going to give to you that will empower you to take care of your needs. Why? Because He said it. Seek you first the kingdom of God. If you'll just seek Him first. First, not career, not friends, not husband, wife, not any of that stuff. Seek Him first and His righteousness. That means making Him real in your life. Then He'll add all that other stuff to you. If you'll seek Him first. Don't lean on earthly reason. It'll let you down every time. Proverbs chapter 16 verse 25 says, there is a way that seems right to a man, but in the end, it is the way of death. We say, well, I'll just know when it feels right. I'll be making decisions and my heart will just tell me. Personal emotion will not help. Jeremiah chapter 17 verse 9 says, the heart is more deceitful than anything else. And desperately sick. Who can understand it? You say, well, I'm going to lean on all that money I'm going to make. I'm going to lean on worldly gain. I just want to mention to you, I'm not going to read the scripture, but in Luke chapter 12, the passage that Jesus teaches, the parable of the rich fool. He has a bumper crop. He says, I got so many crops that I don't have enough barns. And so here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to tear down my little barns. I'm going to build big barns. And I'm going to fill them up. And then I'm going to sit back in my recliner. And I'm going to have a hot dog in one hand and a Budweiser in the other. And I'm just going to eat, drink, and be merry because everything's going to be fine. And Jesus said, you fool! Do you not realize that today your life is going to be required of you? Then whose will all of this stuff be? See, the world tells you that's what you need to lean on. Pleasure, promise, all the great stuff. But it all goes away. Naked you came into the world, and naked you shall leave it. You don't get to take anything with you. Worldly gain will not help you. Only Christ will. And I have two passages just to close with. Number one, Isaiah chapter 50, verse 10. Who among you fears the Lord, listening to the voice of His servant? Who among you walks in darkness and has no light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord. Let him lean on his God. Please listen. Put that on your refrigerator. Remember, every day, all day, lean on God. Don't lean on your own understanding. Don't lean on worldly gain. Don't lean on any of the other things. Lean on your God. And then Matthew. And this is where Jesus encourages us to lean on Him. Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 and 29. And He says, "Come to Me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. All of you take up My yoke and learn from Me, because I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." That yoke we've talked about before was the wooden instrument that would bind two oxen. Their strengths would be joined as they were bound. And I'm such a weak person, but joined to Christ, I get His strength. And it gives me the ability to do what I'm supposed to do as I go through life. All of us need a lesson on that, don't we? On trusting Christ and yoking myself to Him instead of trusting in myself. All of us need more fervently to lean to Him, to yoke ourselves to Him, to be inextricably attached to Him, so that we will not fall or stumble. Yes, this time in your life as graduates is a beginning, and you will make many decisions, but upon whom you decide to lean will make the greatest difference in all the world. Let's pray. Father, bless these graduates and bless all of us as we make decisions now as to whether we will lean on You. Lord, I pray for James and Christina that You would enlighten them and encourage them and strengthen them, and that You would be that stability that will never go away, upon which they can lean. Lord, I ask that for all of us. We're all trusting in many things, most of which are not You. Teach us to lean on You. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Perhaps today the Lord has spoken to your heart. Perhaps the Holy Spirit has directed you that you're not leaning on Christ the way you should, that you're leaning on other things and attaching yourself to other things, yoking yourself to other things. And maybe the Lord is saying to you, it's time that you devote yourselves back to Me. I want to give you an opportunity to respond, an invitation. As Jackie plays and as we sing, would you stand as we sing our invitation hymn?